Corinthians 11, and the picture is wrong. That's my fault. It should say 11, 23 through 29. And so let me get into that right now. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup on the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood, the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Father God, this morning, we thank you for this day in which we have to come and worship you. We thank you for your word that you've given to us, that your love letter. We know that you put your all into getting this word to us. And so, Father, I pray that we do the same when we read it, that we give it our all in our thinking and in the way we live out your word. As my brother said earlier, that we are your ambassadors and we are representing you here. And Father, I pray that we do just that, represent you in a worthy manner. Be with you this morning as I share your word. In your name I pray, amen. So tomorrow is Memorial Day. I found out that I am a minority in pastors, in that there was a poll that was sent out earlier this week that said, which of you pastors will even mention Memorial Day? And I found out that I was in the minority, that over 88% of the pastors will not even speak to Memorial Day. So I'm just letting you know, I'm kind of old school. So when it's Father's Day, I'm going to speak about fathers. When it's Mother's Day, I'm going to speak about mothers. When it's Memorial Day, I'm speaking about Memorial Day. When it's Veterans Day, I'm just letting you know. And I'll do that until you tell me to go bye-bye. I'm just letting you know. But it's Memorial Day. It's a day set aside to remember men and women who have sacrificed their lives, those who have given it all. I think some people, they get some of the military or associated military holidays confused, because like, oh, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and you know, Veterans Day, those are for those men and women who serve that are still here, all right, as opposed to Memorial Day, those who have given their life so that we can sit here in this sanctuary today. It's the old phrase, many of you have heard it, freedom. It's not free. It costs. We have a memorial that we celebrate every first Sunday of the month to our Lord Jesus, because he gave us life. He came so that we would be free from sin and be afforded eternal life. Someday there'll be a Memorial Day for each of us, and the question is, what kind of legacy will you leave behind? So, Memorial Day, we know it's an official holiday. It's recognized in most states. The custom earlier was representing or decorating each of the markers, grave markers of those who served as far back as the Civil War. And it wasn't until 1971 until it became an official holiday. But up to that point, it was all a matter of just decorating the tombs of those fallen soldiers who had given their life for us. I guess the most prestigious one is in Arlington Cemetery, the Unknown Soldier, where that grave is manned 24/7. And so, anyway, many may see this as a 3-day holiday. Woohoo! All right, I got another day off. But I would say that for those of you, for those of us who have lost a loved one in harm's way, I can't help but think that at least one of you have a friend, if not a family member, who has given their life for this country. And I'm not trying to be a hater, but bottom line, I guess me, because I served, and I've lost a fair share of friends, so that we could meet here today. I would ask as a favor to me that you would remember them tomorrow, just for a minute. Just have a minute of silence, just to those who have fallen. Because of them, we can freely proclaim the word of God. We have the right to live at peace in our homes. We have the right of liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We celebrate Memorial Day once a year. But we celebrate a different memorial, if you will, the first of every Sunday, the first Sunday of every month. And so in that, we want to remember Christ, you know, when we have communion, right, when we're breaking bread. In our memorial to Christ, we mourn the loss, but we also remember the life, and we are thankful, so thankful for his sacrifice. So mourning the loss, on the Lord's Memorial Day, we are able to examine our responsibility to Christ. It's because of our sins that he had to die on a cross. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got to realize that we're just as much to blame for Jesus being nailed to the cross as those who were there in the courtyard yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." We must recognize that he would have died just for just one of us. He would have went through all of that just for one of us. We look at Matthew 18:12-24, where it says, "What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Does he not leave the 99 to go to the mountain to seek the one that is straying? And if we should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So, it's one thing that we know that our Heavenly Father died, sent his Son to die on a cross for all of us. But to put it in perspective, he said, everything that his Son endured, he would have just done it for one of you. Think about that. Everything that Jesus endured, he did it for everybody. But he did it for you. Jesus died so that we could have a chance of eternal life. He died to defeat sin once and for all, that it would no longer reign over us, but that through the blood of Christ we could have righteousness. We read in Romans 6:3-4, it says, "Do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Verse 11 says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, let no sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Verse 14 says, For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All that scripture just boils down to say, hey, he died for you, and we owe it to him. We owe it to ourselves to live a life that honors him. He gives us this gift of eternal life if we choose it. Secondly, we remember the life. What must we remember about Jesus? We should remember how he lived and what he taught. He set a glorious example of how to live life through love. Our lives should reflect that love. Jesus lived a life that is full of instruction. He walked the walk and talked the talk. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. He's gone through everything that we've gone through. He was sick. He was healed. He raised the dead. He went through everything that we've gone through to set the example of how we should live. He experienced loneliness and temptation, joy and happiness, all the other emotions that we experience. There's something to be said that I know that in the military, serving and others that have served, it's one thing for you to get orders from somebody that has never done a menial task. You know, I know that there's the job during Desert Storm where they didn't have a honey bucket there yet. So everything had to be burned. And so you get orders to go out there and put that diesel fuel in there and burn it. And you had to stir it up and it was nasty. But there's one thing of hearing it from someone who's also done it, who's already been there, and who doesn't feel that task is beneath them because they've did it themselves and or are willing to do it. It's a lot easier, I think, for those to follow someone who has set the example in that way, just as Jesus Christ set the example, and he knows what we've gone through. He did this so that we would have a sympathetic high priest who understands what we are going through because he experienced it himself. When we gather around the Lord's table on the first Sunday of the month, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. We commune with him. I honestly believe that we do when we're gathered here. And just saying, you just don't have to have communion here. You know, you can do it in your own homes. I recommend that you do it in your own homes. Take turns, mom and dad, just leading communion in your own home. It's allowed. Just know that when we put communion to him, when we're taking of the bread of the elements that represent his body, his blood, just as the disciples communed with him when he instituted the memorial, if you want to call it. No, he set that example. We proclaim his death until he comes again. And oh, how I look forward to him coming again. There's some days I imagine each and every one of you say, come on, Lord, come today. Because I don't want to have to deal with tomorrow. If we approach this memorial in a proper attitude, we will experience spiritual growth. If we experience it, if we just don't take it for granted. 1 Corinthians, I read earlier, we have warnings about partaking of the Lord's Supper in the wrong way, in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. We are to be thankful for, the scripture is there. I'm going to listen to my young friend. She said, speed it up, Pastor. So we are thankful for the sacrifice. We are thankful for the sacrifice. The price Jesus paid on the cross has afforded us salvation. We have the promise of salvation, and we did nothing to deserve it. He gave us that grace, that unmerited favor. You know, you so much deserve to be grounded. You so much deserve to be put in time out. This is today's culture, all right? You know you deserved a punishment worthy of that sin or something you did wrong. But he said, you know what? I love you right now. I love you right now. And so I'm not going to give you what you deserve. That grace and how we must be thankful for it. When you look at Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, it reads, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect, not made with hands, that is not of his creation, of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of the goats and calves, but by the means of his blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more with the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience for dead works to serve the living God. Bottom line is, what that says is, like, all before, up until Jesus came, we were using animals. And when we sacrificed an animal, it was considered good. When Jesus came unblemished and gave of his blood, that was the ultimate sacrifice. And if what could be done with goats was enough, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross and shed his blood. But it took him having to die on the cross and shedding his blood to allow us to have eternal life. What will our memorial be? Our influence doesn't end when we die. It lives on of those who we've touched. The Bible clearly teaches that our influence continues after we're gone. People will know about you. People, even still, as I spoke with some fellow Marines a couple weeks ago, they were having a reunion. And they're like, hey, JR, what's up, Goody? Where you at? Now, mind you, they were feeling kind of nice, all right. And so, they were calling me, hey, what's up, Rev? And, you know, because of the life that I used to live in. They were inviting, you got to come next year, and don't tell your church what's going to happen here, you know. And I'm like, no, it's, listen, you know, I can hang out with you all. I just can't hang out with you in the same way. But even there, in that gathering, they were speaking of those men who influenced them. Those who took them on patrols, live and practicing, just make, you know, in training. The things, the words that were shared by those leaders. Things that just weren't spoke about, but how they actually physically lived out their lives. And as a young guy, you know, you like to say, man, I want to be like that team leader. Because that guy, I mean, he can call in, he knows naval gunfire, he knows how to rescue me, he knows how to operate all the communication. Not only that, there's a navigator, but he knows what he's doing with the compass too. It's like he knows it all. And that particular leader I had, he's like, he didn't have to be over jarheadish. He just say, hey, you know that's wrong. If you do it that way, it's not going to work. There's people that we admire. There's a whole chapter in Hebrews 11 of those who set the example. Those to follow, I encourage you to read that. The chapter of the Hall of Famers, those who had an influence, an impact, so much that it was inked on the parchment. And even when I read those, I'm like, I look at the names, I'm like, but where's Joshua? Because he's not listed in there, you know, but yet Rahab the prostitute is there. I think he put that there, her name is there, because he's saying, if I can work with Rahab, I can work with you. We can look back on our lives and remember people who have influenced our lives. We will all influence lives of others, especially our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, generations, your kids. I mean, I would hope your kids are saying, oh, I want to be like my mom. I want to be like my godly mother. I want to be like my godly father. Maybe not. I hope so. The decisions and actions we make today will influence the outcome years to come. Come on up, praise team. We all asked ourselves this question: what influences am I setting in motion which will continue in the lives of my children and generations to come? Just know that everything you say and do, your kids are watching. And if you're doing it, if my parents are doing it, then it must be okay. Just remember that, parents. Remember that, Christians, young warriors of Christ. People are watching you, and you are setting an example. I ask that you remember the ones who gave their lives for the freedoms that we have today, because they set the example. They said, your life, our way of life, is worth living, and I'm willing to die for it. I ask that you not let their names go in vain. Father God, this morning I thank you for this time that we spent together in your word. And I am so thankful for the sacrifice that your son gave, that we could have a life eternal. And Father, I'm also thankful for those men and women who have fought wars and wars and battles before us, that we could have the freedoms that we have today. And Father, I ask that you would be with those families, those loved ones who tomorrow will have a whole other meaning than just having a day off, because they will be at their tomb sites remembering the sacrifice they made for their loved ones and for this country. In your name I pray. Amen.